Are on Daf Gimel, Gimel Amud Aleph 3a, and back to the discussion of wedding dates. We're done talking about Ones and the issue of conditions that went unfulfilled, and now we come back to talking about what we began with, which was our Mishnah that had said that you're supposed to get married, a Besula is supposed to get married on Wednesday. And what we had said in the Mishnah was that there is a concern that in the event that something inappropriate happens in between the Kiddushin and Nisuin, and then he doesn't find Besulim, so we want to make sure he's going to go to Beis Din the next morning, bright and early, and talk about this, and so witnesses will show up to testify to whatever it was that happened. Because in the event that something happened before Kiddushin, then the issue really is just a financial issue between them, unless he's a Kohen. However, in the event that it happened between Kiddushin and Nisuin, that is actually grounds to prohibit the marriage altogether, with very serious penalties as well. And so you want to make sure he's going to go to Beis Din. So the Mishnah said the Besula is supposed to get married on Wednesday in order to make sure that he'll go to Beis Din the next morning, because as we said at the end last time, Ezra said that Bate Din should meet on Monday and Thursday mornings, right? We had the discussion from Tosvos as to what exactly it was that Ezra put into place. The view of Rabbeinu Tam, before Ezra, Bate Din were ad hoc. Courts just met whenever they were needed. Now you had formal courts meeting on Monday morning and Thursday morning. And then the alternative idea was that before, they only met sparsely. There were certain locations where the courts would meet. And now they were everywhere on Monday and Thursday mornings, and therefore the husband would be able to go to Beis Din. And we said specifically get married on Wednesday. We said don't get married on Sunday. That we were not willing to endorse, because we wanted him to work for 3 days to prepare for the week of Sheva Brachos. And we're going to come back to that a little bit in the Gemara now. That's just review. That's Rabbi, yes.
Was this a regular occurrence that they had to set up Bate Dinim on a regular basis?
So that not Bate Dinim
would take their brides to Beis Din.
Right, so no, good question. Ezra's enactment was, in general, to have Beis Din convene on Mondays and Thursdays. This is part of Ezra's attempt to restore the spirituality of the Jewish people. He wants to make sure if you have a dispute, you're going to go to Beis Din, a dispute of any kind. It happens to be that we're saying that to take advantage of the availability of the Beis Din, get married on Wednesday. We hope that this did not happen ever. We'd like to think that this was a never occurrence. Nonetheless, in order to make sure that we'll have law and order, so to speak, we make sure that they get married on Wednesday to be able to go to the Beis Din on Thursday morning. That's the idea. Okay, so let's go back into the Gemara, and I'm going to share that with you. And it should show up on your screen any moment now. And we'll get a running start by going from Gimel Amud Aleph 3a, 8 lines up from the bottom. Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. We did these couple of lines last time, but it'll get us going. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said, Lo shanu ela mitakanas Ezra ve'elech. He says, this enactment that you get married on Wednesday was only from the time that Ezra made his enactment and onward. She'ein batek dinin kavuin ela b'sheni v'chamishi, when you would only have Beis Din available on Monday or Thursday. Ava, or a fixed Beis Din anyway. Ava kodem takanas Ezra, but before Ezra makes this enactment, Shabbat Dinin kavuin b'chol yom, when you had courts that were established every day, and we talked again about that, whether that really means every day or not. It doesn't really mean there were courts everywhere every day before Ezra. Ezra was not reducing availability of the courts. But the point is, when you didn't have a Monday-Thursday option, Isha nisais b'chol yom, so a woman could get married any day. To which the Gemara now asks a question. Kodem takanas Ezra, maida hava hava. Whatever happened before Ezra's time happened. What do you need to tell me what they were doing before Ezra's enactment? It doesn't belong in the Gemara. It's a nice history lesson. So the Gemara explains that what we're learning here is actually prospective. Because what happened before Ezra's enactment is also relevant once Ezra's enactment falls apart. Hachi ki amar. This is what Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak was trying to say. E ika bate dinin de kavuin haidna kekodem takanas Ezra isha niseis b'chol yom. In the event that you would have a situation in which bate din were equally available all week long, we would go back to doing it the way it was done before Ezra. His point is to say that this is not, it's not as though we're now stuck and it's always got to be on a Wednesday. It depends on availability of the Beis Din. Clear? We good? Sotosos asks two questions here that are worth looking at. When you say now you can go back to get married on any day, all days are equal. So I have a problem. The Gemara on Daf Hey Amud Aleph 5a is going to talk about what day a widow gets married. With a widow, you don't have any of these considerations of going to Beis Din. So the Gemara there is going to say that a widow should get married on Thursday. Why Thursday? Anybody know? What is it about Thursday?
18.
Sorry? No, she's getting married on Thursday. First relations are going to be Thursday night, and there is no going to a Beis Din anyway. She's a widow.
You save money Friday night.
So the Gemara isn't at that stage. That you'll find among the Rishonim, but the Gemara isn't saying that. The Gemara says that you want it to be on Thursday because that way first relations between her and her new husband will be Thursday night, and Friday has the bracha of Puravu that Hashem gives to human beings. So that's why it should be, that's why they get married on Thursday. So Tosfos says, I don't understand. If you really go back to a time when Beis Din is available every day, so you shouldn't say get married any day. Everybody should be getting married on Thursday night so that you have the bracha of Pru Revu. It's a nice bracha. So that's Tosfos' first question on this. If you see where I'm pointing here, it's the next to last Tosfos, Isha Niseis B'chol Yom, woman would get married on any day, Kasha L'Rashba. This Rashba, it's important to note, is not the famous Rashba, Rabbi Shlomo Ibn Aderet. He is later than Tosfos. This is one of the authors of the Tosfos. He asks a question. Amai Niseis B'chol Yom, why should she get married any day? Tehei ka'almana, she should be treated the same way we treat a widow, in the sense that she's not tied to a particular day, but therefore, v'tinase behe, let her get married on Thursday. V'tiba b'shishi, they'll have first relations on Friday. L'vishanem arbo bracha la'adam, because we have the bracha peruvu that's given to human beings on that day. V'yesh lomar, Satosus answers, d'mishum bracha lo hayu kov im yom. Yes, it's nice to get a bracha that way. However, they don't set a day on that basis. We're not going to make everybody get married on that day just for the sake of the bracha. Then why do you do it with a widow? Tosfos asks. Uba'almana nami lo kavu shetibal b'shishi mishum bracha greda. He says, with the widow, the issue is not only get married on Thursday, have relations on Friday for the sake of the bracha. There was another reason. Ela mishum shakdu. There was a separate concern, which we're going to see in the Gemara and Daf Hey, called Shakdu. Shakdu is a term we've already seen, that the Chachamim were diligent, the sages were diligent, in order to make sure that the man would do certain things to prepare for the marriage for his wife. Well, the same thing is true. There's a Shakdu we're going to see regarding a widow. What is it? She Sameach Ima Gimel Yamim. They were concerned, they wanted to make sure, that the man would stay with her for 3 days. That's the concern with the widow. The concern is he's going to marry her and then he's going to go back to work or he's going to go on the road. We want to make sure he'll be with her, so therefore get married on Thursday and he'll stay home Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, into the next week, which isn't relevant for a besula because he has a halacha. He's obligated to be with his wife for the week. So that's a different story. So I'm just going to stop sharing for a moment because someone put a message in the chat. Oh, that's just adding a name. Maury, what were you adding the name for?
It's the abbreviation of the Rashba there.
Oh, I see. You're putting in the Rashba's abbreviation. Thank you. Okay. I thought it was a yard site. I was like, Okay. So,
can I ask a question about Rabbi Tosfos?
Capture what that Tosfos was saying. So Tosfos is saying, once you're no longer tethered to Wednesday, don't say get married on Thursday. Everyone has to get married on Thursday. The reason for a widow to get married on Thursday was unique to the case of the widow, to make sure that the husband will stay home for the weekend and he'll be with her for a few days. But not that we're going to now say everybody has to get married on Thursday in order to get that bracha of Pur Rivu. Okay, Jack, yes.
I was just going to ask, is there no obligation to have like 7 days of Sheva bracha after you marry a widow?
So that's a really good question. We're going to get to it in the Gemara. How many days are actually required for a widow? But the short answer is not necessarily no. We're going to have a discussion which is going to show it depends on whether it's her first marriage, his first marriage. We will, God willing, get to that and not too far from now.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Why should there be a difference between an almana and a grusha getting remarried?
So the same halacha will pertain to a grusha. The Gemara frames it in terms of an almana, we'll see when we get to Dav Hey why we're framing it as almana versus grusha. But yes, the same halacha will pertain if we're talking about a divorcee. There's no distinction drawn in that regard. Okay, so that's one question that Tosfos had. But Tosfos then has another question. Tosfos asks, what about Friday? What about Friday? Let them get married on Friday. Now, you'll answer, what do you mean get married on Friday? If you need a Beis Din, you're out of luck. Right? You're telling me that in the Basula case, once you're no longer tethered to Wednesday, you can get married any day. But Beis Din doesn't meet on Shabbos. So so obviously they're not going to get married on Friday, right? That's the answer, right? Why not get married on Friday? Because you're not getting a Beis Din on Shabbos. But then Tosfos pops the question, so to speak. Probably not the best context for that phrase. But Tosfos asks a question. He says, wait a minute. It's this little bottom Tosfos here. E ika bat dinin. Nira l'ri, the view of the ri is the mikomakom ein nises b'shishi. She can't get married on Friday. Da ain't done in b'shabbos because Beis Din isn't going to meet on Shabbos. But now he has a problem. Ve'ata noagin lisa af b'shishi, as Rabbi Grossman pointed out, in the days of the Rishonim, in the days of Tosfos, they're getting married on Fridays. So I don't understand. How did they do that? Why weren't they concerned about not having a Beis Din available? So we'll see two answers in Tosfos and one answer in the Ran. Tosfos says, "Ve'atanogen lisa afashishi mishum de'ein Beis Din kavu, and we don't have a set day for Beis Din. Ve'miyesh lo tanas besulin, and if he has an issue, if he has a complaint." He says, you don't really need a Beis Din. And this is something I think I mentioned last time. This is not a real Beis Din proceeding. What you're trying to do is simply raise awareness. Hey, something happened here. Are there any witnesses? And you could accomplish that by going out into the public square, grabbing three people and saying, we want an announcement. And he can do that already on Shabbos without having a Beis Din proceeding. That's Tosfos' first answer. So therefore he says it's okay that we get married on Fridays. Ve'od, and then he says further, Lepirish HaKuntras, within the view of Rashi, Davka b'mehem kavu yom anisuin mishum shayidei kach yisbarer hadavar v'yavo eidim mitoch shamis asfim ha'am le-Beis Din. Ve'en shach lomar achshav kach. He says, you know what? Another reason is that the whole point is to have him complain and witnesses are going to show up. And he says, we don't do that anymore. That whole thing isn't happening anymore. That everyone's going to gather and this announcement's going to be made. That's not a thing anymore. I'm not really sure what Tosfos means, but what I wonder if Tosfos means is what the Ran says. The Ran offers a different approach altogether. The Ran says, the way you got married changed. It's not about the Batei Dinim changing. It's the way you get married changed. In the time of the Gemara, we said, you have Kiddushin, and then you have up to a year for Nisuin. And something might actually happen in the interim. But the Ran says, by the time you get to the Rishonim, 1,000 years later, they're doing it the way we do it. Which is to say, you do Kiddushin, maybe you have a Dvar Torah, you read the Ksuba out loud, and you do Nisuin. Nothing's happening in between Kiddushin and Nisuin. So therefore, we don't have a need to go to Beis Din the next morning. Therefore, we can get married on Friday. That's the Ron's resolution, and I think it's, you know, it's fairly straightforward that will explain everything. That's his idea.
Would that be supported? Are there any records at all about what kind of cases we ever taken to Beth Din, and when this kind of case would have stopped being taken to Beth Din?
So you're not really going to find it. The reason you won't find it is because the period of the Gaonim is extremely sparse in terms of the literature. We thanks to the Cairo Geniza, we have a lot more than we knew 100 and 150 years ago, when you had almost nothing. You know, we have a lot more that's published now, but I don't think there's much there in terms of that kind of record to really know. On the other hand, I haven't looked into it, so, you know, maybe there is. I don't know. Okay. So that's the Gemara's conclusion that Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak is teaching me. When Beis Din doesn't meet Monday, Thursday, all bets are off in terms of wedding day. But now the Gemara comes back to the point we mentioned before, which was the Shakdu idea. We said that we want to make sure that he's going to prepare the wedding feast for 3 days. That's part of the deal. And the way we explained it when we read it before was based on the Ritva, not only to prepare the wedding feast for three, because you don't need 3 days to prepare a wedding feast, but you need to actually prepare for Sheva Brachos. Right? We gave two explanations, to be fair. One explanation was that we want him to prepare the wedding feast itself for 3 days. We want it to be a massive party. And that will discourage him from lodging false claims against her because he invested so much. And I had a hard time understanding that then, and I still have a hard time understanding that now. The 3 days on the wedding party is what's going to keep him from lodging a false claim against her. There's something wrong with this picture. I'm not getting something. But the alternative explanation from the Ritva is simply that we want to make sure that he is going to prepare for the Sheva Brachos week in advance of the wedding, and therefore you need a 3-day preparation period. So the Gemara is bothered. You told me that you need that 3-day preparation period. How is that going to work if you can get married any day of the week? Getting married on Wednesday works. You have a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday prep period. But what if he gets married on Monday? That's the Gemara's question here. The Gemara asks on the last line, Haba'inan Shakdu, don't we require Shakdu? Don't we require that don't we require that he take the 3 days? So the Gemara answers, yeah, to Triachle. The answer has to be where he prepares before Shabbos, then he'll be able to marry her on Sunday or on Monday. But you're right, we're not sacrificing the need for that kind of preparation. To which the Gemara then asks, what exactly is this Shakdu thing anyway? And now it's going to spell out what Shakdu is all about. Now, Rashi points out, we don't need to ask this question. We knew what Shakdu was, right? I just explained it to you because we saw it on Daf Beis. Why is the Gemara going to begin here by asking, my Shakdu, what is Shakdu? So take a look at the top Rashi on Gimel Amid Beis. My Shakdu, Heichan Shaninu Shakdu, Demakshinan Lahacha. What the Gemara is doing here is it's asking, how do you know the idea of Shakdu, the idea that you need the 3 days, that we're using it here to challenge Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak? Imishum da Amar Shmuel Le'el, if it's because of what we saw in Daf Beis from Shmuel, leslan la osve mina la amora acharina, that wouldn't be something that I would use to challenge Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. In other words, I'm going to stop sharing because I want to make sure that this is clear. It's a methodological point, but it's an important one. We saw Shakdu explained on Daf Beis. Shakdu, again, the enactment of the rabbis, they were diligent. That's what Shakdu means. They were diligent to make sure that you'd prepare for the wedding for 3 days. I saw that on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Shmuel already mentioned that on Daf Beis Amud Aleph when he was explaining why the Basula is getting married on Wednesday and not on Sunday. So why does the Gemara here need to ask that question again and say, what is this Shakdu? Where does it come from? And the answer is, because on Daf Beis, it was Shmuel talking. Shmuel's an Amora. Here, you're using Shakdu to challenge Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, who's also an Amora. If your only basis for Shakdu is because Shmuel said it, then it's an Amora versus an Amora. And Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak could say, yeah, Shakdu's a nice idea, I don't believe in it. He could dismiss it altogether. So what our Gemara is doing is it's asking, can you give me an earlier source than Shmuel for Shakdu? You follow? Can you give it a pedigree such that I should care about this concept of Shakdu? That's what the Gemara here wants to know. Are we clear? Follow? Okay. So I'm going to go back to sharing it. Yes, Eldon.
Sorry, I was having some technical difficulties here, so I've got to ask you the question now.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I hear you.
Okay. So in today's day and age, where Kedusha and Nisuim is in the same, 40-minute ceremony, if the Kala decides after Kedusha that, hey, this isn't for me, and she runs up the aisle and disappears, do they need a get?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, no, that's a very bad situation. But you could argue better than going through the Nisuin and then deciding that. Fine, but yes, a get will be required.
Okay. Financial support or no?
So, that is a very interesting conversation. Basically, Ksuba is binding from Kiddushin, but Tosefes Ksuba, the extra amounts that he promises, are not binding until Nisuin because they were contingent on being able to marry her fully. That's in a nutshell. The Gemara is going to ask that question, not here, but eventually.
Okay.
Always, Eldon. So the Gemara says, "My Shakdu, where exactly is this source for Shakdu that's early enough that it could be a challenge for Shmuel Bar Yitzchak? Disanya, it's actually a Braisa, and therefore it's from the time of the Tanaim. What is it? You already know. Mipnei ma amru besula nises liyom haravi. Why do we say that the besula gets married on Wednesday? Shem hayalo tanas besulim. In the event that he has a claim, he didn't see Besulim, Hayamashkim leBeisdin. He would wake up and go to Beisdin right away. V'tinase be'echad b'Shabbos. Why not get married on Sunday? V'im hayalotanas Besulim Hayamashkim leBeisdin. And that way he could get up early and go to Beisdin on Monday. Shaktu chachamim altakanas b'nos Yisrael. The sages were diligent in order to aid Jewish women, Shay Adam Tarech Besuda Shlosha Yamim, that he should work for the meal 3 days, Echad Beshabbos, Besheni Beshabbos, Ushlishi Beshabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, over Vi Konsa, and on the fourth day, on Wednesday, he'll marry her. That's the idea. But now we get an added idea in this Brisa, which we were not familiar with before. There's an additional element to this. Umisakana Ve'elech, from the time of danger and onward, and I don't know what danger means right now, the Gemara is going to ask, but from the time that danger set in, Nagu ha'am lichnos bashlishi, everybody started marrying on Tuesday instead, v'lo michu b'yadam chachamim, and the chachamim did not protest. Ubasheni lo yichnos, but don't get married on Monday, v'imachmas ha'ones mutter, but if it's because of ones, then it's permitted. And I don't know what that means either. We don't know what either one is, but the Braisa concludes, Umafrishin es hachazen min hakala lele Shabbos techila, mipneshu ose chabura. The Chachamim enacted that in the event that the man and the woman get married in such a way that their first night together would be Friday night, we separate them. We don't want them to have initial relations Friday night because it will cause a bruise for her as part of breaking the hymen. End of Brisa. All of this has to be unpacked. The Gemara has to discuss all of the things that we just said. First, though, it's going to ask, what is this danger that you're talking about that caused them to get married on Tuesday instead of Wednesday? Where did that come from? Okay, so what our Gemara has done, pausing for a moment here on the sharing, what our Gemara has done is that first it brought Shaktu, good, but once you brought the Brisa, you opened up other cans of worms. Because of danger, they married on Tuesday and the sages said, we're not going to get involved. Because of Ones, they got married on Monday. And we don't want initial sexual relations to be Friday night. Clear? That's what the Brisa said. Okay, so let's go back into the Gemara, and they're going to unpack this step by step. The Gemara asks, you see where the arrow is? My sakana. What exactly is this danger that you're talking about that caused them to get married on Tuesdays? Ilema da amri besula hanises liom haravi te hareg. If it's that there was some decree from a foreign government who had control over us, and they said, if a girl marries on Wednesday, she's going to be executed. We want to stop these Jewish customs, and we're going to do it by sentencing them to death. Then nohagu? What do you mean? They started just customarily, getting married on Tuesday. You made it sound like it was very informal. They started getting married on Tuesday. Legamre neakre. If people are dying for this, you should have made a formal rule uprooting the whole Wednesday thing. Save people's lives. So Amar Rabba said no, that wasn't what was happening. Da Amri Besula Hanises Biyom Haravi Tibal Lahegmona Techila. You're probably familiar with this historic practice. It happened in various empires. That the Romans is what we're likely talking about here, said that if Besula is getting married on Wednesday, first she's going to be taken by the local governor, military leader, whoever it was, whatever Roman official was around, is going to get her first. So in order to avoid that, they said, we're just going to get married on Tuesday.
Was that a Greek custom as well? We have Hanukkah, that was part of...
Yes, it's broad. It is absolutely broad regarding Greece as well. So in order to...
I think also in England in
old days. Oh, Prima Nocta.
Yes. There was also, I'm going to mispronounce it, and all the people who know French here are going to yell at me, but Droit de Seigneur or something like that? Anybody know how to pronounce that? Did I just butcher it so badly that no one even knows what I was saying? Hang on.
Did you just ask for a piece of bread?
Thank you, Clive. I'm going to write it.
It's Droit de Seigneur.
Yeah, there it is. Thank you, Sheldon. I put it in the chat. I know how to spell it, but pronunciation, not so much.
Rabbi.
Light of the nobility.
Yes.
I'm a little confused with, why did they have to move it to Tuesday? They could move it to any day.
So what happened was, the women themselves, it wasn't a rabbinic enactment. They just said, we're going to start getting married on Tuesday. Why they picked Tuesday as opposed to Monday, I don't know, except maybe it preserves the shakdu idea. I think that may have been the reason for it. Was that they wanted to avoid they didn't want to get rid of shakdu. So, we're not done though. Because the Gemara says, that's not sakana. That's what we call ones, right? Ones is a term that we often use very broadly to refer to a situation in which there are circumstances beyond your control and you're compelled to do X. Something happens that you can't prevent. However, ones, in its biblical sense, is used to refer to rape. That's the term you should have used. The same way you said ones led to Mondays, ones led to Tuesdays. The Gemara asks, hi, sakana, you're using the word sakana. Ones who? It's ones. It's a rape thing. So the Gemara answers, no, it wasn't just that. It also was that women were losing their lives. Why? Mishum de'ika tsnuos de masran nafshayhu liktala va'asyon lidei sakana. Because there were women who were tsnuot, meaning that they said, no way am I getting involved with this Greek, Roman, whoever he is, And they would actually choose death rather than do that. So because of that, it ended up being sakana. That's where the that's where sakana came in. So David asks in the chat, does that mean that this was only for Wednesday? The Gemara is going to ask that question. We're just not quite there yet. Good question though. So that's how it ended up being sakana. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. V'lidrosh lehu da'ones shari. Why not teach them that ones is permitted? Why didn't you simply say to them, look, this is circumstances beyond your control. Don't give up your life. Why did you need to, why did they need to endanger themselves? That's the Gemara's question. Why didn't you teach them that they should not give up their life for it? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because, on the other hand, ika prutzos. There are women who are not as careful as the tznuos, who in fact, if they were told, don't worry about it, would go willingly. And then they'd be prohibited to their husbands. Ve'ika nami kohanos. And there were also women who were supposed to marry kohanim. And then, for them, they'd actually be usher to their husbands. They're usher to their husbands, even if it's ones. So you don't want to say to them that this is actually going to be okay. So that's the Gemara's answer here. I'm going to come back to that Gemara because there's something there that's not quite clear. But right now, let's just take it as it is at face value. Vile akre. So the Gemara says, then get rid of the whole Wednesday thing altogether. Since there are situations of danger, why are you just letting them get married on Tuesday and saying, oh, I'm not going to protest? Abolish the whole Wednesday thing. No. Why? Gezera avida de batla. Vitakanta de rabbana mekame gezera lo akrinon. We have a very long history with these empires. And we know the way decrees work. Decrees come and go. Empires come and go. Yes, there's a decree like this right now, so let the women get married on a different day. However, we're not going to get rid of our takana, because one day the decree is going to stop, and then there will be reason to follow our original practice. So we're not abolishing our original practice, we're just saying, okay, fine, get married on Tuesday. We want to get married on Tuesday, go ahead, we're not going to stop you. So the Gemara now asks the question that David asked before. Ihachi b'shlishi nami asiyu ba'il. I don't understand. The Romans are not going to show up on Tuesday? They're busy on Tuesday? What do you mean? Why do you think that switching to Tuesday is going to help you? Misfeka lo akar nafshe. Because the Roman isn't, or the Greek, or whoever this is not going to uproot himself and show up in town just for the sake of an uncertainty. Wednesdays, he knew, reliably, there were weddings. Once they're not doing Wednesdays, and they switch to Tuesdays, maybe they'll switch to some other day, and therefore the Romans stopped showing up. That's the idea. Pause this Gemara here. We need to see a Tosfos, because all of you let me get away with saying something that absolutely cannot be true. Right?
Can I just ask one question, Robert?
Yeah, please.
Did it become so common knowledge even to the goyim that weddings were taking place mostly on Wednesdays?
Yeah,
and that's why when they switched to Tuesdays, then there became more of an uncertainty whether there was going to be a wedding or not.
Yeah, and Greeks and Romans were up on Jewish practice. You find it in their playwrights. You find it in their writers, and certainly someone who has an investment like this in it is going to find out. But the answer is yes. They knew the things that we did. And something like this was enough of a cultural phenomenon that they'd be aware.
So if they switched to Tuesdays, then why wouldn't they know that now weddings are happening on Tuesdays?
So I think the answer is, and I was trying to sort of insert this in with the Gemara's answer, that once you switch off of Wednesdays, it wasn't necessarily that everybody is doing Tuesday. You know, I think people switch to Tuesday because just as easily you could switch to another day. That's what I suspect is behind the Gemara saying uncertainty. But Tosfos asks a question. Did you really just tell me that they should have taught everybody that since it's ones, it's okay? Right? That was our question. We said, why not teach? These women are giving up their lives. Teach them they don't need to give up their lives. Don't they need to give up their lives for this?
How were you defining when you said shmada? You're talking about, did you mention that it's gzera or it's gzera shmada?
I didn't mention shmada at all. But I don't need to. Yeah.
There are three things that you're supposed to give your life up for before committing.
Correct.
One of them was inappropriate relations.
Yeah.
That doesn't really include a goy, but...
So that's a question. That's a big, big assumption. The Rabbeinu Tam would be proud of you. The Rivam would be horrified. This is exactly Tosus' question. Tosus says, how in the world are you telling them that they could engage in this and be okay? They don't need to give up their lives. We have three Eharig Valyavors separate from Shmad. We have three Eharig Valyavors. One is Gili Arayos, one is Shvichas Dam, and one is Avodah Zarah. This is Gili Arayos. What in the world are you teaching them? That's Tosus' question. Yeah.
That's the whole heter from Esther.
So Esther is part of this conversation. Esther is part of this conversation. Esther does not get a heter. Kasher avadati avadti. We'll talk about that. Take a look at this Tosfos v'lidr shlehu. I want to see if we can go through this Tosfos quickly now before we wrap up today. Tosfos asks the question. We have already done it, so I'm going to skip his laying out the question. V'tiretz Rabbeinu Tam. It's Tosfos Lidrosh, the fifth line in it. V'tiretz Rabbeinu Tam. De'ein chayav en misa al be'ilas mitzri. Rabbeinu Tam says, there's no death penalty. This is what Mori wanted to say. For living with a mitzri. Mitzri was a classic term to use when you were afraid of being censored. When you wanted to say non-Jew, you said Egyptian. Because Tosfos didn't know any Egyptians. There were no Egyptian censors. And they would say, oh, it's talking about them. It's not talking about us. I've wondered whether Mitzri Notzri had any association in terms of Christians and whether there was any sort of veiled reference. But like, there's a line in the Aruch HaShulchan in a couple of places where he's clearly talking about non-Jews on the whole. And he says, Mitzri. And you gotta be thinking, he's a rabbi in Nowarodok in Poland in the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century. He never met an Egyptian. I'm pretty sure he never met an Egyptian. Nonetheless, he uses the term Mitzri. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. He says that
the censors were not involved at that point.
In when?
It could have been they changed Notzri into Mitzri.
The 10th censors were not involved at what point?
When censorship was in terms of the Gemara. Gemara is reviewed by, they...
Yeah, no, but I'm saying censors are involved all the way until the 20th century.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you had it. So the official elimination of the index was with Vatican II, I believe. And largely because it was impractical, but there's more to be said about that. Rabbeinu Tam says, Dein chayav en misa be'ilas mitzri. There was no death penalty for that. Why? And he quotes you a pasuk in Yechezkel, v'zirmas susim zirmasam. Without going into the whole context in Yechezkel, he's degrading avodah zarah. He's degrading idolatry that the Jews have strayed after. And he says, their seed is like the seed of horses. Usually this is understood to teach that the halachos, the laws of lineage, don't pertain among them, that father-son relations are not the same for non-Jews as they are for Jews in the eyes of Jewish law. However, the point that Rabbeinu Tam is bringing from this is to say that that it's not considered full sexual relations such that they'd be required to give up their lives. And Tosfos tries to bring proof from Esther, because the Gemara asks the question of how Esther could go to Achashverosh, but the Gemara asks, Ha Esther Parhesia Havoi. The Gemara asks, how could Esther go to Achashverosh? It's in public. Everybody will know. It's Chilul Hashem. The Gemara does not ask, it's Arayos. So doesn't that prove that being with a non-Jew isn't Arayos? And that leads Rabbeinu Tam to make a very, very important halachic statement. Rabbeinu Tam ruled, and it's brought in this Tosfos, I'm just getting off of the screen share because I'm recognizing that otherwise we'll run out of time. But Rabbeinu Tam says, based on this, if a Jewish woman lives with somebody who is not Jewish, And then the non-Jew decides to convert to Judaism. They are permitted to each other. Normally, the rule is that in the event that a man and a woman are involved in an illicit relationship, they're not allowed to marry each other afterwards. However, in this case, it's not called arayos. Rabbeinu Tam says, therefore, they're allowed to get married. That's Rabbeinu Tam's position. The Rivam, another of the authors of the Tosfos, disagrees. He says, what are you talking about? Of course it's Asur. He brings you a Gemara elsewhere in Ar Masechta to prove it, and he brings you Esther. Because when Esther goes to Achashverosh later in the Megillah, she says to Mordechai, Kasher avadati avadati, as I am lost, I am lost. And the Gemara says what she is saying to Mordechai is, we will now be prohibited to each other because I'm going to Achashverosh willingly. So the Rivam says, it's not true. Rather, says the Rivam, the reason why they didn't have to give up their lives here is a different point. It's the way that the act of sexual relations is understood. He says, in the event that the woman is not engaged in this willingly and does not physically bring this on herself, she simply allows it to happen, she's what's called karka olam. She's just like the earth. What he's doing, she is not a participant. And that's why it's okay for them, and they don't need to give up their lives. To be a participant would be an issue, even with a non-Jew. However, if you're not active in it, then it's not an issue. And he says that's why Esther at first was okay. Because when she first was taken to Achashverosh, she was not a willing participant. Only when she went back to him was she actively participating, and at that point she became prohibited. So those are your two answers. Again, the point that we're trying to address here in the Gemara, and this we'll wrap up with, is we're trying to address the question of how the Gemara says, why didn't they just teach the women not to give up their lives? Teach the women that they're permitted. Tosva says, I don't understand. It's Yaharg Val Yavor. You have to give up your life for it. And Rabbeinu Tam's answer is, no, it's not, because the guy isn't Jewish. And the Rivam's answer is, no, it's not Yaharg Val Yavor, because you're not actively participating. Those are the two solutions to the problem. So what we have to do next week, God willing, is come back to this discussion and find out. We now answered the question of what the sakana was. The danger was women being taken to the hegemon and giving up their lives rather than be taken. That's why they moved to Tuesday. But then we talked about Ones moving them to Monday. So we need to find out what that was all about, and that'll be, God willing, next week. Okay? Shkayach.